Well, praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, those watching by Facebook, and we're excited to have you here today. And what the world needs now is more godly fathers.
Amen.
We need to see men that are on fire for Jesus, leading and guiding their families. Even young guys and their teens that are going to grow up, should Jesus tarry, have families that God is preparing them to be godly fathers. Isn't that our prayer?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Let's stand up one more time. Just stand up one more time, and we want to praise the Lord. Come on, just put your hands up. We don't need music. Just praise Him. Glory to God. We don't need music. We need to praise the Lord from our vocal cords. Hallelujah. We glorify You, Lord. We praise You for Your presence here right now. We're giving You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, for You're the mighty Heavenly Father, always watching over us. And we want to just start this service inviting You, Lord, to let You know that You are the main part of this service. You, Lord, it's all about You, and we give You that praise and that glory and that honor in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at somebody else and say, I love the Heavenly Father. And you may be seated. Glory to God. I see some folks from Florida here, I think. There we go. Wow. Well, we're going to have it warm for you today, too. 87 degrees, so you won't get chilly, okay? Praise the Lord. But it's good to have everyone here today. And if you're watching by Facebook, I always like to say this off and on once in a while. We're a small church doing great things for God. And we're not a perfect church, but we're serving a perfect God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're learning from each other's. God put us together as a family, and we learn from each other's. We grow from each other. So we all have different personalities, and we're all learning from one another. And that's how we become the family of God, and we become joined together as one family. Amen. So we can look at each other and say, Lord, thank You for my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes,
amen. Glory to God. Just kind of look around and see the people here today. Those are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You may have been discouraged by people within the church, and that's going to happen, but that's part of your growth. You learn not to look at the person, but you look to the Lord, the God of the impossible, the one that said, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If someone in the church has hurt you in any way, or discourage you, you can still look to Jesus and bring healing into your heart and realize you're not here to serve them, you're here to serve Him. And when you're serving Him, we're automatically taking care of everybody else. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because you're not going to do everything right, and I'm not going to do everything right. But together, God is making us a family. And there's multitudes of remnant churches just like this one throughout this country and around the world that are doing the very same thing tonight, where God is moving by His Holy Spirit, bringing a church, because He is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Did you hear that? He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. He knows how to clean His church up. And we're praying and trusting Him that He does that even in us, personally, individually, that God is doing a work in us, that we can come to church and be the person that God wants us to be, man or woman. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You thought that was the message for the day. No, I hope you brought lunch. No, it isn't that long, but anyway. Well, you know, we had Mother's Day not that long ago, and we found out how important mothers are. But you know, fathers are vitally important too. Each one has a role according to the Word of God. No one is better than the other. God puts us all equally in His eyes, but He did give a man a role different from a woman. And the enemy would like to mess us up and make us think the woman thinks she can become the man and the man become a woman. That's confusion of the devil. That's confusion. Transgenderism is confusion. That's what the enemy is trying to bring into the world. I said to a young man a few months ago in a restaurant, and he was kind of effeminate, walking there with painted fingernails and everything, not to bring him down. But I walked up to him, and I said in a good way, I said to him, I said, God created you a man. They need to hear that.
Yeah.
And then I said it the second time. He didn't like it, but that's okay. And I believe the Holy Spirit at this very moment is still dealing with that young man, realizing that he is a man. That's why he struggles so hard. confused because the enemy has messed up his mind, realizing you were created a man, nothing but a man. And we need to be taught that. A woman is a woman, not a man. Praise the Lord. That is not my sermon today either. Somebody said you should have been a band director. Get off the bandwagon, buddy. Fathers who imitate the Son is my message today. Fathers who imitate the Son. Dads are special, aren't they? I mean, I remember my dad, he's been gone a long time now, but yeah, I believe he was one of the greatest dads in the world. I believe he was to this day, and I thank God for him. But there's many, many others today, too, that are great dads, serving the Lord, living for the Lord, guiding their families and everything. But we need to remember that, Superman and Spider-Man and Batman are not the heroes of the home. Amen? They're not the heroes. When has Spider-Man and Superman and Batman ever showed up in your home and helped you when you were having problems? Never. So we don't look to them as the heroes. We should be looking to our dads as the heroes. And you may be here this morning too. You haven't had a good experience with your father, and you can't say that. God understands that, but you always got him, the Heavenly Father, who is a perfect father. He's perfect, and he knows how to take care of things. Think about this, that none of these heroes, again, could do anything for you, but God can. He is the God of the impossible. And it was our dads and our moms who worked hard and provided all of our needs in our life. My dad raised my brothers and sister along with my mother and did a pretty good job. You can see how well I turned out, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm imperfect too. Long shot. But some of you might not have experienced your earthly father's love the way some homes have, and that's difficult. I know some of you come from broken homes, and that's a hard thing to deal with sometimes. Or you lost your father early in age, or you had an abusive father. All these things happen in this imperfect world, this fallen world, and we need to be aware of that. But we can experience the perfect love of our Heavenly Father. We can look to him, and if you're here this morning, you're still dealing with that somewhat in your heart with your father, that your experience with him. You can transfer that to your Heavenly Father and say, God, help me, bring healing into my heart. Even if that father is not living today and he's been an abusive father, not a good father, not a loving father, you can look to your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, help me to forgive that earthly father. That doesn't release them from anything, but it helps you to heal within yourself, that the Heavenly Father can get a hold of your heart and show his love to you, that this is what a true father really is. And some of us need that, don't we? We really need that. Titus 2 gives the older women and men how to be spiritual examples to the younger. Now, I cannot overemphasize the influence of a role of a father, but like these young people are up here today, every one of us in here, the older teenagers, the adults, all the way up to the older folk too, we are to be examples to those young people. Amen. Fathers and mother images to them. And that's our responsibility. You say, well, I don't know how to do anything. Yeah, you do. Just be a mother and a father. Even if they're not your children, you can treat them with respect and love them and let them see what a true Christian mom and dad is. Amen? But listen to this. According to a survey, if the child receives Christ first in the family, there is a 3.5% possibility that the rest of the family members will be saved. If the little child, like when we have VBS, we've had several children come to Jesus at VBS. They went back to their homes. Guess what they're telling mommy and daddy? 3.5% possibility. If the mother receives Christ first in the family, the probability of the household getting saved goes up to 17%. It's important that moms get saved too, amen? Amen. But listen to this. You got your seatbelts on? But if the father is saved first, the probability of the family to receive Christ is 93%. That's a survey done. That's the impact what a father has within a home. Doesn't make him better than the mother. But it's the ordaining of God upon a father to be the head of the household in spiritual things. And I know, and I've seen it many times in my Christian life, when a father's got saved, it impacts families. You can see it in a church setting. How many times if a father gets saved, all of a sudden you see the family starting to come. The kids are starting to come. The wife is starting to come. And pretty soon they're all saved. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
That's why we preach salvation here at Crossfire Assembly. We all need to be saved. And we all have, whether you're a man or woman, we all have an impact in somebody's life. That shows the significance, though, of a father's influence upon a home. Fathers must imitate Christ to be a positive influence on their family and society. And that's what we need, more fathers that imitate Christ and not someone else. Yes. Not to imitate a boxer or a wrestler or a movie star or a rock star. We don't need fathers imitating them. We need fathers that will imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. The goal of us who have received salvation is to become more like Christ. And that's what God does every moment, every day when we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us. He is working to make us to become more like Christ. And that's what we need. It says in Romans chapter 8, 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's the Holy Spirit working in us daily to help us as men. And I'm speaking directly to fathers now, and much of this affects women too. But since it's Father's Day, I like to let fathers know how important the influence of our life is, especially when we become Christ-like, that we live our life the way Jesus wants us to. One day we will be transformed as to be like Christ himself with the family resemblance of his brethren. Men and women, let me ask you, does your lifestyle, your words, your actions emulate Jesus? Young person, does your life emulate Jesus according to the Word of God? How are you living your life? What are you saying in private in your homes when you're angry, when you're upset or at work or whatever? Are you emulating Christ in every area of your life? We need help, don't we? I know I do. We need help. 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It did not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious day that's going to be. You want to know who he is when you see him, don't you? Then you got to look like him. We got to be like him. We're going to know him more when we're like him. But he's going to see, and one day we will be exactly like him when he does appear to us. And that day is coming sooner than many people think. Though Jesus never had any physical children, he is a perfect role model for every believer and every father this morning. Jesus is a perfect role model as a father. Perfect. If you're looking for a perfect father, read the Word of God and read about Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 identifies him. If you say, well, that's not scriptural, Isaiah 9:6 identifies the Son. What is he called? The Everlasting Father. You see that up there? The Everlasting Father. He's the creator of all things, Jesus. But he is the Everlasting Father, so we can run to him. I believe that this world desperately needs fathers who imitate Jesus more and more in what's happening today, even within the church today. Men are being led the wrong direction, thinking they're doing right things when they're really doing wrong things. We see so much divorce in the churches today. We see abuse in the churches today with families because of the father not living the way he's supposed to. And we desperately need godly fathers. Fathers must imitate Jesus in their life. And chances we spare a lot of problems and headaches when we do it Jesus way, amen? There's fathers that make decisions in the home that are contrary to the Word of God. What they bring upon themselves is a curse within their home. And they wouldn't have to if they would obey the Word of God. Not out of slavery and out of dictatorship, but the love of God says, do it this way and you'll have a home that will be the home that I picked out for you. It'll be a good home. And a father many times will compromise his life, what he does, how he does, whether he's drinking, smoking, chasing, or not coming home, or gambling, or whatever he's doing. He's compromising in the home, and it destroys the home. And when a father is doing it Christ's way, becoming like Christ, that home is a different home, isn't it? Amen. It's totally different. Even in my own personal life, speaking as a young father, when my daughter was born too, I thank God he saved me before my daughter knew, before I got saved. I thank God she was born after that. But God changed me too. My wife probably will say amen to that.
Amen.
She said it too fast. But I tell you, it changed our home. She got saved a month later. But it changed our home. She was a great Catholic. Yeah. She was good at it. And I was a good Lutheran. But we weren't saved. But when God saves us, it changed our home dramatically. And I just told a brother this morning, we were fellowshipping, and I told him, I said, you know, I used to drink booze, but I haven't touched it for over 53 years. Not because I'm a wonderful, great guy. I could do it any day of the week if I wanted to, but I don't want to do it because Jesus came into my heart and he changed me. I don't need that stuff. I don't even need to sniff it. Because I tell you what, my joy comes from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need a glass of wine at Thanksgiving either. Because that one glass of wine may make somebody at my Thanksgiving meal stumble if they're not a Christian and they know I am. Not that it's evil, but it's the appearance of evil.
Amen.
And many homes have been destroyed because of booze, because of wine, alcoholic beverages. I avoid it for that simple reason. That's why one Teen Challenge guy asked me when I was in Teen Challenge ministering. He said, do you have wine in your refrigerator? I said, absolutely not. And he said, why not? I said, not because I'm a perfect person or anything, and not that I couldn't drink wine, but I don't have it in there is because of people like you. Because that young man was in there because he'd become a drunkard already early in life, and it was destroying him. I said, I don't need wine. I need Jesus. And that young man got excited. I said, God's going to deliver you too. And that's why, people, we need fathers who will not compromise in the home and try to justify worldly habits. That we need to be an example of Jesus. Fathers must be loving like Jesus. Who would agree with that?
Amen.
We must be loving. We must be loving. The first characteristic that fathers must imitate is the love of Jesus. It says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We're to lay down our life for our families, for our children. We're to sacrifice need be. Jesus demonstrated his love for God and for others by dying on the cross for us. Fathers must also love God, their families, and others first before themselves. We need to put our families first. Matthew chapter 22, 36 through 40 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I'm just going to expound. You need to fall in love with Jesus if you haven't. Not just say his name, but you need to fall in love with Jesus. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the more your home will become different. The more your life will become different. The more you'll be able to walk away from the sinful worldly things in your life, and you'll become more like Jesus because you'll fall in love with him. And I'm not ashamed to tell anybody, I'm still falling in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I love Jesus. And then it goes on to say, and the second is like unto Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. The love of Christ in the Father is so important in this world we live in. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we're in here this morning and we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ, God is not in us. Pretty point blank, isn't it? God said it right here. I read the scripture. God put that there, the anointed word of God. If I stand up here and I do not love my brothers in Christ, my sisters in Christ, I don't have the love of the Father in me. But I'm to truly to love. And you say, well, Pastor, you seem like a mean guy sometime. Well, that's because I love you. I got to tell you the truth. But that doesn't mean I'm mean. Right?
Right.
I'm telling you the truth. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want us all to be victorious and make it to heaven. I know that I can't do that work. Only God can. But I can be an influence as the pastor of a church. And we need to remember that. In many families, an ugly cycle reoccurs. Since the fathers don't love their families enough, the wife and children disrespect their fathers. And I've watched that. That does not make God happy when children disrespect their parents. The father stops the father from demonstrating his love in his family when he's being disrespected. It stops it. And this must stop. It could help stop divorce in the family, pornography in the family, child abuse in the family, and much more if fathers put others before themselves. Sure gets quiet in here, doesn't it? The fathers must be loving no matter what. The wife and the children must respect the father no matter what. Fathers must be loving like Jesus. And number two, fathers must be humble like Jesus. One of the major sins men struggle with is pride. Guys?
Amen.
Pride. Psalms chapter 31, 23. If you don't believe that, just go down 694 and have a guy cut you off in his Ram. And you driving a Ford.
Yep.
Or a Chevy. Psalms 31:23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. That means he judges the proud doer. He judges them. God hates pride. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination. You know that word abomination, I was thinking too, is the very same word that God uses against homosexuality and against witchcraft. They're an abomination to him. He hates it, but he hates pride the same way. It's an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. Father's got to stop lying. Watching by Facebook. If fathers are watching and you find yourself lying and saying things that aren't true to your families, God says, don't do that. It's an abomination to him. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaks lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. Wow, that's pretty heavy too, isn't it? Doesn't God give it to us straight? That's why, see, at the judgment seat, there will be no excuses. Amen. No father, no mother will have any kind, no child will have any kind of excuse at the judgment seat of Christ. None. Because it's all laid out right here. God tells us how to live our life. And it's a loving way he tells us. But he tells us to us straight how he can destroy us if we don't do it. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We humbly treat each other and serve each other the way Christ would have us do it. Fathers are to be that way in the home, to be humble and to serve their families the way that Christ would himself. God alone, our Heavenly Father, worthy of all glory and honor and praise, and we must give him the rightful place in our life. When he is sitting on the thrones of our hearts, he'll help guide us to be the father that we need to be in the home. We must follow the example of Christ who came as a servant to the earth. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, anything more sickening is a father that is a wine cat. And he's got to keep whining because he doesn't get this, or he can't buy his new motorcycle or whatever, and he can't have this. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know something? We are to minister to our families in the home first. What needs do they have that need to be met before I get my motorcycle? We need to be considerate. What does my wife need? How are the bills being taken care of? What will bring a burden upon my wife and my children if I going, I keep buying this or doing this or leaving here and going on fishing trips and leaving her for a week, 2 weeks at a time whenever I want. What types of things does that have an impact on a home when a father is not humble and ministering to his family? What's that do? We are in an hour where we need men of God to come back and repent before God and come back and be the man that God wants us to be. Jesus is the greatest example of humility. He demonstrates this beautiful at the Last Supper. John 13:5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. That's humility. And Jesus showed us how to do that. Though Jesus is second person of the Trinity, he humbled himself. Literally, he humbled himself to the position of a slave. Though Jesus knew his disciples would betray him, he knew they would betray him and desert him and deny him, but yet he still bows down and he washes their feet. That's humility. Even if your family hurts you as a father, your children hurt you in any way, your wife, words were said or whatever, and it hurt you, you humble yourself, you forgive, and you show them how to be forgiving and humble in the home. Do I do everything right?
No.
You didn't know I was a ventriloquist, did you? I'm still learning. No matter how old you get, you keep learning. You do. And that, when I'm preaching this, I'm preaching to me as a father too. But I want God to be the center of my life, to be the example that I portray going forth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And believe me, you and I can't even understand what that was like for Jesus to go to a cross. He wouldn't have had to. He was obedient. He humbled himself. He didn't sin. He didn't do anything wrong. But he humbled himself and he walked to that cross and he died for every human being that's ever existed and will exist. That was humility. And that's what a man should portray in his home too, whenever the opportunity, that whenever there's a hardship within the home, the man does what he needs to sacrifice, to become humble, and even swallow his pride when need. And that's hard to do. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, guys, don't we?
Yes.
We need to do that. God's people must not be arrogant, prideful, and with haughty attitudes, thinking there's somebody. Thinking there's somebody. Too many people think if they get money and they get prestige, they get titles on their names, that I'm to be treated a different way. True, you respect people and you give them honor where honor is due, but I tell you what, they're no better than you are. If you've never been to school in your whole life and you don't understand anything and you're sitting next to an educated guy, God sees them equal. And that educated person should never become haughty, because it's by the grace of God that he got his education.
Amen.
It's because of that. Anything anybody gets in this room here in your own personal life, you think, well, I earned it. I'm smart. I know how to do it. No, it was God who got it for you and gave you the ability to achieve what you have in this world. Because he said, I will supply every need. He's doing it even we don't understand it. He's taking care of us. We must shun pride and develop humility with the help of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to Father's Day, we must be humble like Jesus. I want to say that. We need to be humble like Jesus. Fathers must be compassionate like Jesus. Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was very compassionate. And fathers in the home, we need to learn to be compassionate. If our wife is going through physical, mental, emotional, whatever, as the stages of life and the journey goes different as we grow older and the children are growing and everything, we need to become compassionate with what are they crying out for, what are they screaming for. Instead of tearing them down, we need to be compassionate and thinking, how can I help? How can I make this home better right now with that child, with my wife, whatever? That's being Christ-like. Compassion is often seen as a feminine emotion. That's why guys, you know, the macho guy, that would be me. And But I tell you what, it takes more of a man to be compassionate and to be humble and to weep for his family in prayer and to seek God to help him to be a better father. That takes humility and it takes compassion. Jesus even wept on a couple occasions himself, as you read in Scripture. Good example of the father was the prodigal father who had given all the money to the son and he took off and splurged it and destroyed his life. The father could have said, stay away from me, but he didn't. He had compassion on that son when he came running home and he put his arms around and fell upon his neck because he had compassion. And that's what we need to show our children and our wives and our lives. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are raised in homes. I was, where my dad didn't do much hugging. He's one of those good old German Lutherans. We never did much hugging or anything, but we always knew he loved us. We always did because of the way he treated us and the way he took care of us. But he never had that loving. But it doesn't hurt for a guy to hug his kid, to hug his wife. Amen? Even as we get older. Guys, I don't care if you're up in your 90s right now. It doesn't hurt you to open the door for your wife. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Might be harder. You might ask for help. But you can still do it. Hallelujah. Psalms 103:13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows we're but dust. Every one of us, God pities us. He knows we're dust. He knows we're working within our lives to be what we should be. And he pities us because he knows our frames are weak and he knows we need him. Even when you discipline your children, show them compassion and love. Be available to your children. Share in their disappointments and joy. When they come home and they're complaining and they're murmuring, or it's your wife complaining and murmuring, we need the help of the Holy Spirit to show them compassion. It'll change your home. I'm still working on that too. Every day, all of us are. We need to do that if we're going to have Christian homes and see the world change and the world sees us how we treat one another as families. We need to do that. Fathers must be compassionate like Jesus. Play with your children, but don't become their buddies.
Yeah.
Don't become their buddies. You're their father. When they get older, you can be a buddy to them. You can go golfing with them. You can do things. But when they're a child, you can have fun with them and play with them. But don't become their buddies. That when they need discipline and correction, you do it. Be the father. Proverbs 25. The next one I want to rapidly go through these before I finish here. Fathers must be self-controlled like Jesus. Fathers must be self-controlled. Every father must develop self-control, one of the fruit of the Spirit. Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. When a man comes into his home and he starts pushing his family around, doing things in his home, bringing pornography and doing things in his front of his wife and his daughter, how in the world does he think he's going to have a home of peace and tranquility? Because he has no self-control over himself. One of the fruit of the Spirit is to have self-control. If you have a desire for drinking, ask the Holy Spirit, take that desire from me. I don't want it in my refrigerator. If I have a desire for gambling, Lord, take that away from me. I need to put the money into my family. We need to have self-control. A city whose walls are broken is vulnerable to attack. That's how Satan gets into many homes today. Fathers with no self-control. He literally destroys them and breaks them up. The children become wild. They become promiscuous in their life because daddy is. They will take on that trait. And that's why a man doesn't realize the influence that he has in his children, his great-grandchildren, his children, his grandchildren, and his family altogether, the influence we have, that when we live our lives a certain way, the family is watching us, whether they think they are or not, they are. They're watching every move we make. And many times Satan will come in and he will begin to put little seeds of everything in the home. The children become more rebellious against the authority of the home and things like that. It brings destruction to a home. And we're to be as fathers to have self-control. If we don't have self-control, we will be without defense before Satan in the flesh. I've seen many homes break up within the Christian realm where the father lost self-control of his own desires, his own lusts, his own ways. And he take it out on the family. And pretty soon he's gone. Satan comes in and takes over. This is serious stuff, isn't it? It truly is. We're watching the destruction of the homes in America, the foundation of a nation. Satan knows it. But we're going to be bold. The church is going to be bold in these last days, and we're going to stand against it and speak against it. Cain didn't have self-control, and he committed the first murder in human history. David didn't have self-control, and he committed two terrible crimes, adultery and murder, because he didn't have self-control. But Jesus had self-control. Can I tell you a story, a real quick one? Jesus was led into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. How long?
40 days.
40 days. Guess who had self-control? Satan offered him everything in the book, and Jesus had self-control and said, no, it is written. We need more fathers that will say within the home, no, it is written in here. But pastor, they'll think I'm a religious fanatic. So? A Jesus freak. A Bible thumper. You know something? I don't mind thumping this. I witness to people, it doesn't bother me one bit because I know what's in here, I know it's true, I know it's real, and I'm not afraid, I'm not embarrassed, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God on the salvation, it is the power of God within the home. And if you don't have self-control, you need to get into the Word of God and say, it is written. Jesus did it. He overcame. He knows what it's like to be tempted beyond all temptation. He was offered everything, even though he owned it. But during that temptation, he was using self-control. And every time the enemy came in and tried to bring something into his life at that point, he said, it is written. He overcame him with the written word. And we need to do the same thing. In Luke 4, we can see that we can defeat temptations of the enemy through fasting and prayer. We need more fathers praying fathers. And if you haven't fasted, start. Maybe start with one meal. Maybe one day, whatever. But I found out in my personal life, as I testified before, as a younger Christian, when I fasted, I thought I was literally going to die. Literally. After 2 days, I was sure I was going to die with no food. On a men's retreat. And after the third day, I felt great. Whew, I'm not even hungry. I said to my flesh, no food. No food. The spirit should direct the flesh, not vice versa. And I tell you what, and then I started fasting where I could go a whole week and it wouldn't bother me one bit, where I could just pray and ask the Lord to do a work in my life. To be a man of God. And that's what we should all do as fathers, continue to do. And if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do it. It will help you to bring self-control within your life when you learn even to start out with one meal. If that's all you can do, just start out and you'll see that you miss a meal. You said to your body, no, you're not having that food. And that brings self-control. It helps you. The Holy Spirit will help you. Every father must be self-controlled. Fathers must develop that control. Galatians 5:23 says meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there's no law. You can do it with the help of the Lord. Fathers must be gentle like Jesus. Many men think that meekness is a sign of weakness. Angry, macho men are projected as real men by the world. But gentleness is Christ-like. You can just go on Facebook today and see men that sit there and use foul language with tattoos all over their bodies, yelling and screaming and shouting and got their big workout muscles going on and everything and think they're going to just take on the world. No, they're not. They're just puny little pieces of dust that God can wipe out in the thought. But he loved them. He created them. But God doesn't want fathers to be that way. He wants us to be gentle, how we treat our families and how we react. Many men think that, but angry macho men are projected as real men in this world, but they're really not. But gentleness is Christ-like. Who do you want to be, like the world or like Jesus? That was a question. You want to be like Jesus, right? Matthew 11, 29 says, take my yoke upon you. This is Jesus saying this about himself now. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What a Lord we serve.
Amen.
And just think, he's got the whole world in his hands, but he's telling us he's meek and he's lowly. He can push us around anytime he wanted to, but he's not. He's meek and he's lowly. That's what he did when he had gone to the cross. He was meek and lowly. He walked all the way to the cross and he wouldn't head to. Since Christ is gentle, he is able to offer rest for our souls. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people need rest in their souls today. And only Jesus can do that. Quoting Zechariah 9:9, Matthew 21:5 writes, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king comes unto thee, meek and sitting up on a donkey, and the colt the foal of a donkey. Jesus was meek and lowly. We must develop the quality of gentleness in our lives, one of the fruit of the Spirit. As leaders, we must not drive our families harshly. Rather, we must lead our families gently. Fathers must be gentle like Jesus. That doesn't mean you can't be firm when you got to bring direction in children's lives, but not harshly, not abusively. Fathers must discipline like Jesus. Jesus is not all love and compassion and gentleness either. Remember when he went into the temple? He was also firm and disciplining. Fathers must be gentle, yet they must discipline their children as well. Fathers must strike the balance between. When the disciples failed to cast out the demons from a young boy, he rebukes them and says in Mark 9:19, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Jesus got frustrated too. And he rebuked his disciples when they needed it. When Jesus predicts his impending death and suffering, what's Peter do? Peter rebukes Jesus and says in Matthew 16:22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter was not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And Jesus rebuked Peter in a very strong words in Matthew 16:23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. That's pretty straight talk, wasn't it? I don't think Peter expected that. Satan? Jesus, you called me Satan? No, Jesus didn't call Peter Satan. Satan was speaking through Peter. And many times fathers are allowing Satan to speak through them into their homes. And we need to be aware when that happens. Fathers, listen to the words from Proverbs 3:11-12. Which are quoted in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. God cares so much about us and loves about us. When he sees us getting out of step, he chastens us to bring us back to where we need to be because he doesn't want us to go down the broad path. A loving father will discipline his children if they love them and delight in them. Spare the rod, spoil the child. You know something? Fathers must discipline like Jesus, using proper discipline when needed. And yes, I know in this modern world today, yes. If they need a spanking, spank them.
Amen.
Amen.
But do it in love and compassion.
Yeah.
I think my daughter would come up here and tell me that every time I spanked her, when she wasn't that much, what did Amy? But when she needed it, she got spanked. When I warned her and told her not to do something and she rebelled and did it, I spanked her. But before I spanked her, I said, tell me why I'm going to spank you. And she would sit there with tears in her eyes because she knew the pain was coming. And that's what we need to do with our children in our homes. Sometimes they need a spanking. A lot of times it can be done just with verbal talking and doing different things. But if they need a spanking, do it. Spare the rod, spoil the child. We got to knock the rebellion out of our kids sometimes. Because we're born with rebellion, every one of us. And sometimes spanking needs to be done. I was spanked as a child. Didn't like it. That wide military belt wasn't fun. But I tell you, when we needed it, Dad was not afraid to use it. But I tell you what, we respected our father. We knew when he said something, it meant business. When the father is out of the home, turmoil many times happens. That's why we pray for single moms today in churches that don't have the father in the home. We pray for those mothers that God will give them the ability and strength to lead their homes the best they can and to use them for his glory also. Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, speaking of Jesus. Fathers need to be men of prayer, especially in these end times. It will be by God's grace that your children will be blessed. Fathers, your children will not be blessed if you merely provide for their needs. Pray for your children, and then pray for your children and your wife. Pray for your wife, and then pray for your wife. Be the priest and the leader that God has called you to be. Even if you're not a father, be a prayerful priest in your home. So in conclusion, I'll stop there. There's so many other attributes about Jesus in here as a father image, I don't have time for them. But in conclusion today, I want to say in this sermon, I've obviously shared an exhaustive list of qualities, and there's so many. But fathers, I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord to help you to be like Jesus in the home. A father must provide for the family, teach God's word to his children, and fulfill several other obligations within a home. But we focus on the need of our fathers reflecting Jesus through their lives. Fathers, we're not perfect. We are fallen beings in a fallen world. The more we look to Christ, the more we become like him. And it should never be used for an excuse that we're imperfect. We already know that, but we need God's help to be the man of God, the father in the home, what we should be. And if you're being an example to a child that doesn't have a father, be an example to them. Every one of us men in here are an example to every one of these young children whenever they approach us, to be Christ-like in how we approach them. But Jesus, he's our ultimate role model. If you want to be like the perfect father, look to Jesus. Amen? Look to Jesus. Even when you fail, run to Jesus and ask forgiveness, because we're not going to do everything right. We do get in the corner and say, God, forgive me. Help me to do it differently next time. He'll grant you a grace and make you the kind of leader and priest that you want to be within the home. Let's all stand, please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. With every head bowed and eye closed right now, I just quickly want to ask, is there anybody that walked in here to say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus Christ. Jesus said we must be born again before we can go to heaven. I didn't say Christ follower. I said born again. Jesus said you must be born again. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't be like Jesus if we're not saved. We can only become like Jesus when we become saved and his spirit comes and lives. And if there's anyone in here this morning, say, Pastor, if I died right now, I don't even know if I'd go to be to live with Jesus. Is there anybody like that in here that you don't know for sure? Just raise your hand way up if anybody walked in. I need to know for sure that I am born again. Okay. Now I want to ask every single father to walk on up here. Every boy, every teenager, young man. I just want all the young guys to come up here too. You don't have to be a father, but I want the men to come up here. It's about time that we have men to become leaders. And if you're watching by Facebook, you're a man. You need to get on your knees where you're at and talk to the Lord as we pray together. Just file closer, guys. Don't be, you big macho guys, don't be scared of each other. I said to a guy one time in Teen Challenge, he's a great big guy, he's a muscle guy, he's huge. And I said, you know something? He didn't like some of the things I said. And I said, you know something? You could probably take me right now and chew me up and spit me out. But I said, you're not bigger than God. And you know what happened? The guy started to cry. Doesn't matter how big we are, how strong we are, how small we are. It doesn't make any difference. God created us the way we're supposed to be. And ladies, I want you to realize the importance of these men in this church. and those watching by Facebook, how important the God's ordained men to be examples, leaders. Even if you're a young teenage person, yet you don't have a home or whatever, God is beginning to train you and helping you to what it is to grow into marriage and to be a man of God within the home. And so we're going to pray right now with the ladies behind you, with their hands up toward you. We're just going to bring you before the throne of God right now, because our world is in serious trouble and we need men of God beginning to stand up and to be the proper fathers within the home and not run their homes by anger. Anything that's most frustrating is when you see a father that tries to rule his home by anger. That is so ungodly. God does not call men to rule their homes by anger and fear. We're to do it according to the Word of God. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Guys, put your hands in the air, because God's going to talk to you. My prayer, but whatever I say, you can let the Holy Spirit speak to you whatever you need. And ladies, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today. On this day we call Father's Day. You are our Heavenly Father. You're our all-knowing Heavenly Father. You are the Heavenly Father of the impossible, and you created every one of us men in here today. You created us in this world for a purpose and a place in this hour that we live. And Lord, I believe in my heart right now that even these men here, you have a greater purpose and an influence in their lives, in their homes right now, Father, that you are going to begin to do in these last days. We are literally going to see your glory show up in homes. First through the mothers, as we see her nurture the home, but the father being the priest and the leader, Lord, that your anointing will fall upon homes, and homes will be even changed greater. Children will see the difference, and they will come into obedience and say, I want to be like my dad someday. I want to be like my mom someday. Lord, you're doing a work, but Lord, you need men that will submit themselves to you right now through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they say to you, say with me, men, I will submit myself to the Holy Spirit to guide me, to be a father, a grandfather, a great grandfather to my family and to those around me. I ask, Lord, that the blood of Jesus would cleanse me from all sin in my life that I've committed. Some of it's been secret. Some of it's been open. But I'm saying to you right now, Jesus, please forgive me. Do a new work in my heart, in my home. Help me to be the man of God. Come on, guys, speak up. You're fading out on me. Help me to be the man of God that you've called me to be according to your word, and to guide my family and my loved ones, and to be examples at work wherever I am. So that with that, Lord Jesus, my life is yours from this point on. And I will walk forward believing that you are going to do a new work in me to be a man of God and a father according to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we praise you and we thank you, Lord. For only you are the one, Lord, that can do the work in each one of us, Father, going forward. I pray that you keep these men in health. Bless their work. Let them find favor in their home, within their jobs, in their families, Lord. Help them walk in blessings, Father. Let their wives see as you're doing the work, Father, for it is you that does the work. And Lord, we're just thankful. We know that you're doing a perfecting work within our lives in this last hour of time. And so, Father, we ask right now again that you continue to do that as a church body right now, the men, the women, all of us, Lord, coming together, that you are building that perfect church without spot or wrinkle. And so, Lord, we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Help our children to look at us and let children see us as true men and women of God, non-compromising in our talk, in our walk, in the things that we do, but help us to be what you called us to be, Father, that we can emulate Jesus in everything we do. And we praise you, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, Happy Father's Day. Yeah.